We'll be in Revelation chapter 18 this morning concerning the demise of political and economic Babylon in the end time events. Revelation chapter 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived luxuriously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all kinds of vessels of ivory and all kinds of vessels of most precious wood and of bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruit that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and sumptuous are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, who were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches are come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the companies of ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of their costliness, for in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and minstrels and flute players and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her were found the blood of prophets and of saints, and all that were slain upon the earth. Shall we pray? Loving Father, that you may also bring to our attention your word. You may lay it upon our hearts that we might be mindful of these things yet to be, and that we may be aware that thou art sovereign over the nations of the world, and in those end time events you will bring to pass such and such things that are needed that may accomplish your purpose and judgments for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this chapter, of course, concerns Babylon in its political and economic realm. For we find that Babylon is not only represented as a harlot, that is, an apostate Christendom, and the great power she exerts in world religion and in the universality of it, and of the great corruption which she represents. But we find that the great Babylon is also represented in its political and economic nature. We find that as Antichrist rises to power, that he will have a kingdom that will be both religious and that will be politically and economically charged. And we find that concerning these things, that there will be a global element to it because it is to encompass the world. And we find also that then the judgment of God in relationship to Babylon and to Antichrist and to the apostate church shall also come at that time in human history, at the time of Jacob's trouble, a time of great tribulation that shall fall upon the world, and that this shall ensue upon all aspects of this Babylonian society. And so we do see in chapter 18 the political nature of that great city, which is represented as the headquarters, if you will, or the capital city of Antichrist, the seat or throne which he rules from over the whole earth, and that we find that it will fall, that great city shall fall. And so we find here this mighty angel comes. The chapter 18 begins saying, after these things, and so this is also a continuation of those things which God has begun to bring as judgments upon the earth, which shows the progression of these events from chapter 17. And so another angel is in view in verse 1 of chapter 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And so this is a distinct angel, one that is to bring the pronouncement of God against political and economic Babylon, and that the context shows that the political and economic nature of this Babylon as it goes into the various descriptions of the merchandising and the power of that great city and of the judgments that shall come upon her, and the weeping, as it were, the great conflagration of judgment that shall be brought against her. And so Babylon of Revelation is prophesied. Now, where is Babylon? Is it in Iraq? Is it the revived city of Babylon? Or is it Rome and the representation of the revived Roman Empire through that entity? Well, as we are exactly told, we find that the name Babylon is given to this great entity or city, and of the power that she is wielding at the time. And many believe that it is a revision of the ancient Roman Empire and the political and economic system. And as we look at the political and economic world today, we find that it is in a great deal of flux, we might say. It changes constantly as many people and nations try to bring together the political and economic powers to be. We find that it has a sense of change and morphing, if you will, that it will one day come together as some kind of great power where no man will be able to buy or sell save that he has the mark of the beast. And so it has to be an enormous power politically and economically. And it has to be a far-reaching power even to the individual people, not just to the capitals of nations, that they have given up their sovereignty, but also people themselves have given up their sovereignty individually to the great beast, because they must take the mark of the beast or the number of his name if they are to live in the world which is to come. And so we find that this great political and economic power is one which God will judge. And so what does this angel say? Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The description, of course, goes to a very dark and sinister aspect of this great city. It is not a city that is lifted up by God as one which is to be admired. It is rather a city which is very dark and which is full of evil. It says it's a habitation of demons. And we know that these demons shall empower many and torment many, and is the hold of every foul spirit. And so not the true spirit of God at all, but rather the evil spirits in men. And it is a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And so we may think of many of the predatory types of birds in the world. And this seems to be describing the idea that Babylon is full of predators, of people and spirits of people. People who desire to prey upon others and to be evil unto them, and to control them and have power over them. And this great entity called Babylon the Great, this angel said, will fall. And it will fall as in a day, or within an hour, so to speak. In verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, the key words here, of course, are nations and kings and merchants. All of these have are commercial in the sense that they are wielding great economic powers. And these people and nations who represent the commercial entities, and we might think of banks, we may think of the world economy as the various huge banking empires of the world are in play and in political power, and the great monies of the world which are being transferred and continue to transact business over the world at that time. These great nations and kings and merchants of the earth, what have they done? They have grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And so they have been made rich. We may think of those people who are corrupted because of wealth. And perhaps the most recent example of this might be this fellow who was convicted of certain sex crimes on the news, this Epstein, and now he has committed suicide, but yet he was very, very rich and very wealthy, but very corrupt. And that there were people who are now being tied to this individual who we might raise our eyebrows about and say, well, why were these people somehow acquainted with this man? Well, as this particular entity comes into play in the end time events, such people who wield great power and great money and great authority will have many who are tied to them. Kings and nations and merchants, and they have grown rich with the power and the wealth of Babylon, of this economic and political entity, which is a universal power, which is doing business all over the world, and it is a very evil entity, or city, or capital, if you will, center of trade and merchandising. And in verse 4 he says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." I think this verse here becomes the key focus for us as Christians, as we recognize that we have not yet arrived to that time of great tribulation. In fact, we have not yet arrived at that time where Babylon is in view. If it were, we would know exactly where it is, whether it be in New York City or Paris or in Rome or in Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia or someplace else. We would know that that's where it is. That's where the capital city of it is. But we do not know that. But we do know that many of these places in the world today are very powerful. They have great money. They have many billions, if not trillions, of dollars. And there are many trillions of dollars flowing around the world today through the economic circuits of the computer industry, which transfers money every single day in great quantities. And even the United States wields a great economic and political power. And so we find that Christians, or those who would be known as God's people, the people of the Lord, must come out of her, must come out of Babylon. It is a call to separation, which is a doctrine which I think should be preached more thoroughly than it is today, that we do need to be separate from this great world entity, and even the purse strings of this great world entity. And it would be very difficult, of course. Today we have some ability to cut some of the strings. We don't have to do business with certain people if we don't want to. Then in other cases, we're somehow tied to these great merchants because they own so much, and they are big corporate industries. And we might say, well, how do we ever not buy from some of these people who seem to be promoting so much globalism and so much of this economic and political corruption that we see going on in prophecy? Well, it is a difficult thing, of course. And we have to try to do the best we can in living separate from many of these corrupt corporations. And we have to use whatever means we can to do that within the conscience of our living. But in the end time events, we find that God's people are given this call to come out of her. Why? Because she is going to be judged. We might think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was not Lot and his family called to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah? And there was an angel, by the way, a couple of them, that went to Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot and his family to come out of there. Some of the members of the family didn't want to come, and they didn't. And then the immediate family, Lot and his wife and daughters, they came out. But then we find that Lot's wife was called to look back. The calling and the tugging of her heart made her look back when she was forbidden to do so, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And we find that God does call his people out of places that are corrupt and evil. And it seems that at this particular time in human history, when this political world power, this economic world power, being attached to this apostate Christendom, and of the evil which she represents, and of the great power which and the corruptions which is swayed, we find that God's people are called to separate from her, lest they also receive of her plagues. And so it is a great warning even today to us that we should live separately as much as we can, separate from the things which are corrupted, and live as simply and as pure unto the Lord as we can. And of course that is a calling each of us are called to. In verse 5, he says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Well, even in this particular case, we find that Sodom and Gomorrah had their sins had reached unto heaven, and the Lord came down to see for himself just how evil that those cities were. Well, here we find that something similar is being said, that the sins of this great city, Babylon, have now come before God, and God is going to hold her accountable. In verse 6, he's going to reward her for her sins. Verse 6, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." So the same cup of corruption which she held, now she would be called to drink of it. She would be brought into judgment for her great corruptions. She would be made accountable for her great sins. This great world entity which shall be in place and those end times will be called to account for her sins. Verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived luxuriously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." Well, this is the place of corruption, isn't it? Those who rule absolutely are corrupted absolutely. And we find that this great queen, as it were, reminiscent of the queen of heaven, of Babylon itself, who was worshipped, and we find that this great queen, she sits upon her throne thinking that no one can touch her, but yet God does touch this great Babylon. And when he calls upon his angel to pronounce judgment against her, she is brought to task for her great sins. And so we find that this woman, this Babylon the Great, is going to fall thoroughly and completely. Verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her." Though she is a great world power, she is not stronger than God. And this calls us to remember the fact that a man, though he thinks himself to be something, really is nothing. God tells us that in Isaiah chapter 40, that God setteth upon a circle of the earth, and all the nations of the world are as a drop in a bucket compared to him, that he holds the balances of power in his hand, and that he raises one king and puts down another. He raises one nation to power, and he subdues another. And we find that God is going to subdue this great world of power as well. It is considered to be perhaps the greatest empire that shall ever rule, because it is the last. And just as the Roman Empire was a great empire, ruling thoroughly over the whole world, this Babylonian entity which shall rise with Antichrist in place, and with the false prophet in place, and with the great red dragon uttering from his mouth the orders that these two should follow, will finally meet their demise. And God shall judge them, and Babylon shall fall in a day. In verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing far off, the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgments are come. And so the people upon the earth at the time will bewail this great city. I mean, after all, she is the money purse of all the nations of the world. And she has put together a political and a world power which has sustained people and nations and kings and merchants. And now she must pay the price for her great corruptions and great evil. Verse 11, And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And so we find that there will be a great political and economic collapse in the world. If people thought the Great Depression was a time of great collapse, this will surpass it all universally. And we find that this collapse of economic merchandising and power, political power, will touch everyone. And as we find in verse 12, he mentions, John is now given the idea of the merchandising that went on, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls and linen and purple and silk and scarlet and wood and vessels of ivory and most precious wood and bronze and iron and marble, all of these various kinds of things which were current in the world at that time. The various spices and incense and ointments and frankincense and oil and wine and flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves, yes, and even the souls of men, as people have sold themselves unto this great power, so they are under the control of this great power and shall fall with this great power. And I think that's important for us to take note of too, this entity that falls is not just a political head and an economic head. It is made up of people. People who have sold themselves out to this great world power at the time. Those who have taken the mark of the beast, those who have the number of his name, those who worship the image, those who have bought into the apostate Christendom and believe the evils of it, people who have bought into the world economic powers and what they say, they are going to suffer because they have become corrupted, even as that great Antichrist and false prophet have become corrupted by the great red dragon. Verse 15, The merchants of these things, who were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And so we find that no matter the amount of weeping and crying and bemoaning this great economic fall and this great political fall, we find that it will make no difference. But they will be weeping. In other words, there'll be great torment. We read much in the scripture about being cast out into utter darkness where there will be weeping and wailing. And we are reminded that this weeping and wailing begins with the judgment of God. As God brings his judgment upon the world, as God brings his judgment upon an evil system, upon an evil power, upon an evil Christendom, upon an apostate church and an apostate economic and political system. Verse 16, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. In other words, she was so beautiful. Many could admire her. Many could look at this world power and say she is prosperous. Many could look at this world power and say there is nothing that can touch her because she is so great and so mighty and so beautiful and so rich and so wealthy. But yet God did touch her and will continue to do so at this particular time to bring it down to the ground and to make it as much a rubble as the original Babylon was made a rubble and has not yet been even rebuilt. Verse 17, for in one hour so great riches are come to nothing, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off. And so we get a sense here in verse 17 that all these great merchandising companies have now come to the conclusion that their purse has been cut off. They can no longer do the merchandising that they have desired to do or have been allowed to do. And so this great economic power finds an end. In verse 18, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Somehow you can get a vision here of a city going up in flames. At the time when Nero was in power, and he's even set his own city upon fire, and the flames of it went up unto the skies, we get a kind of a prophetic vision of Babylon, who is going up in flames, and everything is burning, and everything is corrupting, and everything is turning to ashes right in front of their eyes. We get that sense. God is going to thoroughly destroy what is on the earth at the time. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which was made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour she is made desolate. In one hour, in one complete fell swoop of time, like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, when fire and brimstone rained down and the city went up in brimstone, so shall this great power fall in an hour. Now, is it talking about a literally 60 minutes, or is it talking about a period of time? I think it gives us a sense that it will be quickly and sudden, and that when God gets ready to judge, it will be full and it will be final. I think that is the sense of it. And so this great economic power will collapse. You might think of Wall Street today and how it has its surges. First it will go great guns and they will have great wealth. And then everybody gets a little bit shaky because of something that is said, either economically or politically, and they sell and it falls suddenly. And there's a big collapse. And then it rises back up again. Well, when this political entity goes down, it will not come back. It will stay down. It will be completely and thoroughly judged, and it will fall as quickly as that. In verse 20, we find heaven rejoices over the fall of Babylon. Now, why should heaven rejoice? Because God is finally avenged by judgment. by justly judging the sin and the corruption of men who have turned away from God. Now, what have they done? They have fallen to apostate Christendom, first of all. They are not worshiping the true and living God. They are worshiping power and money, and they are worshiping the various ideas and doctrines of a corrupt and evil religious system. And so, yes, God has a right to judge them because they deny Him. And He also has a right to judge them politically, and He has a right to judge them economically. Politically, because Antichrist is in power. He has set himself up in the place of God, in the place of Christ, and he desires worship, and he demands that people would give their allegiance to him, that they do not give their allegiance to the true and living God, but they give it unto him. He also desires that the great red dragon, the evil one himself, should have full authority over the world. And so all of this corruption, religiously and politically and economically, shall come into judgment because God realizes that the world is in rebellion against him. Perhaps it is a reminder to the long-sufferingness of God, even at the time of the Tower of Babel, when God saw that their hearts were to rebel against him, and they had built this great tower, and Nimrod had constructed it that they might go to the top of it and that they might worship the sun and the moon and the stars and the various entities of creation rather than the God of creation. And so God came down and confounded their language and dispersed them over the whole world. And now, ever since then, we find that the evil one himself has been trying to get the world back together to one language and to one power and unity, Christendom, which is an apostate Christendom, political corruptions and economic corruptions. And when that day comes, God will judge it and avenge all those who have been affected by that great corruption. It says in verse 20, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And so a day of judgment does come, and God will bring that judgment very quickly and suddenly, and it will come with great violence upon the world, and it will destroy Babylon, and as it were, she will go up in flames, and all her powers shall be taken away. In verse 22, "And the voice of harpers and minstrels and flute players and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, no craftsmen, and there shall be no more of the kind of millstone work, as we might think of industry as grinding grain or various kinds of flowers, of flour, and various kinds of foods. None of that should be heard at all. And we find that the great silence and the darkness shall fall upon great Babylon. And the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride and the merchant, and the great men of the earth." And why is this? Because she had given herself over to pharmakia. That's what the word is here for sorceries. It's pharmakia. And we're reminded of the great drug trafficking. Recently, was watching the television program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Probably everybody has seen it at one time or another. And they had a little clue on there, and the question was, what kind of drug or kind of an addiction type thing was the United States guilty of? In other words, there was various kinds of things like amphetamines and cocaine and marijuana, and there was different kinds of things that they was talking about, and they was saying, well, who is the one who uses the most in the whole world? In the United States. Was it the United States? And it came out that it was cocaine. That the cocaine is the most used drug in the United States. And it was then all of the world, cocaine, pharmakia, sorceries, the addictions of the world. And we find that at this particular time that Babylon the Great is, she is made drunk with the wine of her sorceries, her fornications, her evils, her sins. They have come up before God. He says, for thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And so all nations were deceived by the evils of great Babylon. Like a drug, they became addicted to her. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. She was guilty, guilty as charged. And now she was to be judged. And God was just in avenging upon her because she was guilty against God. And so we find that this great entity, this great political and economic Babylon, is destroyed. And so it is a somber thing to think about, that the world should come to this end. In many ways, one would think it would have so much promise, but in fact it is headed in the wrong direction because it has rebelled against God. Let us remember to come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. Though it is an ominous prediction, though it is a prophecy which we would have to say we hope does not come soon, and that it is one that we would say, Lord, thou art long-suffering and full of tender mercies towards your people. And we would pray, Lord, that you will bring many out of that great evil power yet to be, that they might live unto God and to his Christ. Father, we ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.